Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush does not look at the Baker-Hamilton report as a new blueprint for his strategy.
The thing I liked about the Baker-Hamilton report is it discussed the way forward in Iraq. And I believe we need a new approach.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair from tonight's CBS Evening News with Katie Couric.
There's no doubt about it at all. We're facing a very, very difficult situation, very challenging situation. But as they say, it's a situation that we cannot afford not to win.
Study group co-chairman Lee Hamilton says it is critical to get Iraqi forces well trained.
We recommend, for example, that you do a lot better training of Iraqi forces.
And faster, he says, such that control can be turned over to Iraq more quickly. General Carter Hamm, commander of the 1st Infantry, says let's slow down a little bit. The proposal to sharply accelerate training of Iraqi forces to get the numbers up is not so smart. He says training is one thing. Experience is the key, and that only comes with time. He says putting units in harm's way before they're ready would have consequences far beyond the demoralization of Iraqi forces who fail and die trying because they're too green. This was at Pearl Harbor today. A 21-gun salute for those who died 65 years ago today at Pearl when the Japanese Air Force invited the United States into a war in the Pacific. All NASA is hoping the weather will cooperate for just a little while for tonight's Flight of Discovery. Live now, CBS's Peter King.
Well, the weather is still iffy here at the Cape and at three overseas emergency landing sites, but forecasters say they're slightly optimistic. NASA calls this flight to the International Space Station the most complicated ever, with spacewalkers making scores of wiring and plumbing connections, and Houston sending thousands of computer commands to make it all work. NASA head Michael Griffin tells CBS News he thinks it'll go well, but
I'm more optimistic that if we encounter a problem, guys are going to find a way to work around it.
That first step is the longest. We're all waiting to see if the weather clears in about 3.5 hours, Harley.
Recreating the heroic attempt to get help for his family to better understand the death of James Kim in the rugged southwest Oregon mountains.
When found by searchers, Mr. Kim was fully clothed in a heavy dark colored jacket, gray sweater covering a t-shirt, blue jeans, and tennis shoes. He was in possession of a backpack that contained miscellaneous items, including identification.
Oregon State Police Lieutenant Greg Hastings, CBS's John Blackstone.
He believed that he was trying to make his way toward a river that led to a town that he and his wife saw on a map. They studied the map, thought that the town was about 4 miles from where they were. In reality, the town was about 15 miles from where they were.
And Kim walked in desperate circles until finally the exposure and the cold killed him. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 30 points today, the Nasdaq off 18. Oil prices, $62.49 a barrel, up 30 cents. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's showing us the latest ways to spruce up for the holidays at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale. Laura?
The season calls for touches of silver and gold, so anything that shines is catching my eye. Look at these silver plates. They really say holiday magic.
Wow.
Then it's straight over to metallic tops to dress up any outfit.
Incredible savings await you at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale this Friday and Saturday. Find the lowest prices of the season on Friday Night Owl and Saturday Early Bird Specials. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Sunday on Showtime. The question isn't where were you during the last terrorist attack? It's where will you be for the next one?
We have to find out where the nukes are coming from and intercept them.
Showtime presents Sleeper Cell, American Terror, an all-new television event.
We must strike first.
The show the New York Times called Better Than 24 is back.
Your world is never going to be safe again.
Sleeper Cell, American Terror. Premieres Sunday at 9, 8 central on Showtime. To subscribe, call 1-800-SHOWTIME or go to sho.com.
Where do the most poor live? It's something of a surprise.
Suburbs are growing faster. They're more diverse. Immigrants are often going there to live instead of a big city where work may be tougher to find.
I think suburbs are going to face, you know, new challenges.
Alan Berube co-authored a report for the Brookings Institution finding suburban poor outnumbering inner city poor for the first time last year.
Poverty is sort of a new reality for them.
And he says suburbs where the poverty rate is high, like McAllen, Texas and Lakeland, Florida, have to increase services to help. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
A German cyclist was so afraid of his wife, he lied to the police. First, he was drunk, rode his bike into a lamppost and hurt himself, but couldn't go home and tell the wife the truth, so he called the cops and told them he'd been set upon by no fewer than six young punks, two of whom he gave a good whipping, and sent the other four packing in great fearful flight through the bushes. Cops looked behind the bushes, found a tall fence. The man fessed up to his alibi. Now the wife's really upset. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Sunday on Showtime. The question isn't where were you during the last terrorist attack. It's where will you be for the next one?
We have to find out where the nukes are coming from and intercept them.
Showtime presents Sleeper Cell, American Terror, an all-new television event.
We must strike first.
The show the New York Times called Better Than 24 is back.
Your world is never going to be safe again.
Sleeper Cell, American Terror, premieres Sunday at 9, 8 Central on Showtime. To subscribe, call 1-800-SHOWTIME or go to sho.com.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We are live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we originate on the left coast of the United States.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild. Streets and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me.
Changes in the winds regarding Iraq, and a minor change regarding the Peter B. Collins Show. And I want to say here at the top of the program that this appears to be our last broadcast in Sacramento for the time being on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. They're making some changes, and they found a live program in the late night time slot where they've been running our tape show. So I want to thank Paula Nelson and the entire team at Talk City for your support of the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm sure we'll connect again soon. George W. Bush facing much more serious change. We're going to talk about that throughout most of the program today, with one exception. Pat Shakir will join us in a minute to recap the work of the Baker Commission and the President's reaction. Later this hour, we're going to talk with Stephen Kull. He's director of the Program on International Policy Attitudes, and he's an able pollster. He's going to tell us about Americans' attitudes toward Iraq and Iraqi attitudes toward the American occupation. And he also, for several years now, has been studying the widening divide between Democrats and Democrats and Republicans in this country. Also on today's show, Ray McGovern in our second hour, the former CIA analyst who challenged the Gates nomination, and he's deeply disappointed. We'll talk about that. And next hour, too, we're going to meet two ex-cons. Dennis Fritz has written a book about his 11 years incarcerated, even though he was completely innocent. Dennis Fritz has written a book called Journey Toward Justice. And he is one of 181 convicts in America who have been freed due to DNA. One of the 181 completely innocent of the charges they were sentenced for. And my friend Dennis Jones is going to join us in that segment, too. He founded the Freedom Foundation while he was a prisoner in San Quentin here in California. And lots of room for your calls in the free speech zone. We may get a wacky call from Dick and W. We'll see if that happens today. And we also have some excerpts from the Bush-Blair news conference that took place in Washington this morning, which show that the president, even though he says he's not in denial, maintains denial language in many respects. Faiz Shakir is a co-editor of the Daily Progress Report published at the Center for American Progress in Washington. You can get your free copy by email like I do. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faiz, you must have been busy the last few days.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on here in D.C. It's funny what happens when Congress actually shows up to do its work.
Yeah. Well, before we dive into the Baker Commission, the Iraq Study Group, I just wanted to get your take on what I call the easy-breezy, lazy-duck confirmation of Robert Gates as the new defense secretary. Now, I never expected this to be rejected, but I was shocked that every Democrat present voted for this, both in the committee and on the Senate floor. Was there a team play here? Did Harry Reid say, hey, guys, we're going for this one, and this is part of a larger strategy?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's exactly what happened, that the Democrats had gotten together and decided that they weren't going to push hard in this nomination. I think one example of that is the questions that they asked. They never touched on Iran-Contra, and I don't know exactly what Robert Gates may have done to manipulate intelligence. All I know is that was an issue that many people were thinking about and wanted to hear his response to, and to see whether he would apologize or change his story from that which he gave to the Senate a number of years ago when he got confirmed for the CIA director post. It never came up. So it was clear that the Democrats didn't really want to push him on things that might have derailed the nomination, especially, I mean, one blogger had it best, that he had me at "You're losing." And as soon as he answered Carl Levin that we're losing the Iraq war, the nomination was basically sealed and he was going through.
But with all due respect to Stephen Colbert, that was truthiness. I mean, they created this illusion of candor. Everything that he said was qualified based on that he hasn't really studied all the details and that the president will make the final decisions. So, sure, he may be a different advocate inside the cabinet room with George W. Bush, but it really doesn't guarantee any significant changes.
That's right. I think that's the right impression, and we'll see whether he can be as tough a bureaucratic infighter as Rumsfeld, and whether he actually will be a persuasive advocate for changing course in Iraq, and whether he's going to actually push for any of the Iraq study group recommendations, particularly those that pertain to drawing down troop levels. But I think your impression is right. He looked more like a soft pushover. That's not going to be able to stand up to Dick Cheney and George Bush.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about his independence, but nobody asked him if he'd be independent from Cheney.
That's right.
I mean, the other thing for me, Faiz, was, Harry Reid is a smart guy, and I give him a lot of credit. I'm a little shocked at this instant unity of the Democratic Party, and I don't agree with it. And I wish he had thrown a bone to progressives like me and allowed Feingold or Boxer or a few others to vote against this, if only to dress the window.
Right. Well, and I'll go back to what I said before, which is that even if they had decided they were all going to vote for him and show the unity, I don't think that that necessarily means that you have to lie down in your questioning. And I think that they did. I think, Hillary Clinton obviously had an opportunity to come out forcefully against the Iraq course, and she's running for president. Evan Bayh was on the committee who had an opportunity to question him. I think a lot of people who really could have made a lot more hay out of this and perhaps used Gates as a wedge to really hit Bush over the head with some things didn't take that opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that a little more later today with Ray McGovern. I wanted to shift now to the Iraq Study Group report. It's a bestseller in Amazon.com, I guess number 17 or something like that. So thousands of copies are out there, but this is a report that was produced for an audience of one. And Faiz, it's like having the entire school stay after school or even all weekend long because W couldn't manage the multiplication tables. I mean, they pointed out the most obvious things about the failure of the policy. And there he was this morning. He got a question from a BBC reporter about whether he's still in denial, and he denied being in denial while using the language of denial. He's driving me crazy, Faiz.
Right. He said Iraq's in bad shape. Get it? That's all he had to say about whether things in Iraq are doing poorly, and he didn't want to expound on it, obviously, because it hurts him politically. And with regards to this Baker Commission, I think I have very mixed feelings on it. I think that in an effort to reach consensus, they really watered down what they could have recommended, which would have been more forceful. Clearly, they're itching for a drawdown, and they want to redeploy troops. And in fact, they do lay out a timetable. A lot of people have suggested that it doesn't come out with a timetable. I think it does. It says that combat troops should be out of there by early 2008, regardless of whether Iraqis step up to take on the challenge of training forces or not. They think our combat forces should be out of there by early 2008. So that's a pretty set timetable, but yet...
And it's a short one, too.
Yes.
To be
yes.
fair.
Right, and it didn't really, it didn't state it as forcefully as it could have, and it buried it, and it was down there like number 40 in their recommendations. So I think that they really tried to couch it unnecessarily to try to sell it to the President Bush, who's obviously not buying.
Well, and Bush is trying to, I mean, he's talking out of all sides of his mouth, not just two of them. I mean, on the one hand, he accepted the report, said it was tough and, you know, realistic and all, pardon me, all that. And, you know, at the same time, he tries to minimize it by saying he's got other reports coming in from White House people, from State Department people, from Defense Department people. And, this is this mass exercise. And at the end, I feel like we're all going to be snookered, that this is a perception management exercise and not anything that is really going to result in substantive policy changes.
Yeah, well, recall, just a week before the commission came, or the Iraq Study Group came out, President Bush kneecapped them by saying that there would be, quote, no graceful exit from Iraq, right? And this was, and he was referring directly to the Iraq Study Group, basically saying, whatever they recommend, I'm not taking it. And so it wasn't a surprise that when the report actually came out, he said, well, I accept your report. I'm happy to read it. He noted that I don't read many reports, but I actually read this one. but he was very careful in his language to say that I am not accepting your proposals. He just said I will read it. I'll consider it. And it's pretty clear that President Bush isn't going to change any of his ideological underpinnings about Iraq by virtue of this report.
All right. We're going to take a break and return with Faiz Shakir. If you have a question or comment about the Iraq Study Group report and reaction to it, call us now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Toll free for the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Raise a little hell, raise a little hell. I mean, just tell people why I say,
Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet Louis Basil of Jamestown Real Estate and Ronnie Bramer of New Horizon Real Estate Group. They'll talk about investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. If you want to know how to finance a deal and make your first investment property a simple turnkey process, these are the guys. For more information on how to be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
B. Collins Show, did anybody notice this morning at the news conference, were Bush's pants on fire? Did you see any smoke? We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 21 minutes past the hour. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. And Faz, one of the things that crossed my cynical mind is that this whole big exercise is just another perception management technique of the Bush administration. They're trying to give us the perception of change and movement, a way forward. And at the end of all this noise and Sturm und Drang, I kind of suspect that not much will really change.
Right, right. I think that they are trying to shed this perception that Bush is in control. They've been putting up the strategy now for like a month where Bush announced that he was going to be conducting these internal reviews, one by the Pentagon, one by the White House. And of course, he's been meeting with the Iraq Study Group, and they've been putting out all these pictures of Bush in charge of the Iraq policy. Those are all great for perception. But, of course, I don't think that the American people are buying this. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't think that American people feel the sense that, oh, well, there's Bush taking charge of the situation, and I have confidence in him. So I don't, this effort by the White House, I think, will reap limited gains.
Well, there's this fundamental lack of humility. And later today we're going to play this exchange between a BBC reporter and Bush. And Bush cannot acknowledge the very failed policies that are identified in the Iraq Study Group report. And I give them credit for bringing those issues forward. This is all a very delicate dance that they're doing. At the same time, he does not appear to get it, at least not from his public statements.
It's really incredible. I mean, I'm not sure if this is the exchange that you're talking about, but a reporter asks Bush, you know, it seems to many people that you're still in denial about how bad things are in Iraq, mm-hmm. and question your sincerity about changing course. And Bush abruptly answers, it's bad in Iraq. That help?
Yeah, and then he went on for a, you know, 2 minute spin answer with a lot of passion but no content.
Yeah. And it's interesting what the Iraq Study Group said about this. And in page, I think it was 94 or 95, you can find it, and it says that in order to suit Bush administration's policy goals, there is significant underreporting of the violence in Iraq. You know, and that's interesting in one sense because maybe President Bush doesn't even know what's going on there. He's just being told a story by people in the Pentagon about things are getting better in Iraq and the media is just misreporting it.
Faz, I'm glad you brought that up, because it reminded me that on the NewsHour last night on PBS, they devoted a great portion of the program to the Iraq Study Group report. And at one point, kind of disconnected from everything else, Jim Lehrer just stated what you just said, quoting from the report, that the true situation there is underreported. And there was no comment, no context. They just then went on to something different. And I thought, wow, that's a stunning statement, delivered in a very understated way.
That's right. I mean, but what is it saying? It's saying the administration is lying to you. Right. I mean, in other words, what they are telling you about Iraq and what they're telling themselves about Iraq is false.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right that it has been this story, this part of the report is being very underreported, and it directly contradicts what Bush told us in just a couple weeks ago, where they asked him, "Are we winning in Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, absolutely, we're winning. We're absolutely winning." And here we have both Robert Gates saying we're losing, by his incoming defense secretary,
mm-hmm.
and the report saying that what he's being told is false. And so what he's telling us is just as jaded as what he's receiving internally.
And Tony Snow, on loan from Fox News to the White House, had a tough time responding to the Gates remark, and all he could tell the reporters was, "Well, I didn't ask the president today if we're winning."
And then they got Gates to change his answer, or not necessarily change it, but you remember after lunch he came back out.
Yeah, he had lunch by himself and came back and decided to change it.
Right. He said, "Well, I don't want to back off the fact that we're losing, but we aren't. We aren't winning. We aren't losing. We're somewhere in between."
So yeah.
He kind of gave this nonsensical answer about what's going on in Iraq.
Dave's on the line from Eureka. And, Dave, welcome to the program today. I just wanted to let you know that this morning I heard both Tony Blair and George W. Bush use the phrase that really gets caught in your craw, the one about the noble cause in Iraq. And they're shamelessly parading that same language again. What's on your mind, Dave?
Well, Peter and Faz, as we're talking right now, I'm looking at a chart, a graph in motion, of numbers, and how many billions and trillions of dollars in debt this country is and how rapidly it is expanding, several billion dollars every week. And by coincidence, at the same time, a small clique of special interests are getting extremely wealthy. As this country goes into the poorhouse, that doesn't concern them. All they could, what's in it for them is what concerns them. And so I think that has to be put in perspective every time you talk about this. No, they don't want to come out because you just can't comprehend how much profit is in it.
Well, Dave, you make a very good point. And Faz, another item buried in this Iraq Study Group report is the true cost of the war. It could approach $2 trillion, which is 20 times higher than the original estimates, and the hard figure today is upwards of $350 billion.
That's right.
I didn't see those figures splashed around in the coverage, either on TV or in the newspapers.
No, you didn't see them. And probably the site that Dave's visiting is costofwar.com, and it tells you that the war in Iraq is costing, right now, at this moment, $348 million. And
mm-hmm.
so... And then we know that there's going to be another $100 to $150 million request coming through Congress. And is Congress going to step up and challenge that and ask the administration to be held accountable for mm-hmm. the money that they're going to be distributing? I think this is another one question. Hopefully the Democrats don't use the same strategy they employed in the Gates nomination, where they just kind of let it go and,
mm-hmm.
and don't ask the hard questions. I hope they'll actually stand up and ask some tough questions about this money.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Also, I would point out that I just forgot what I was going to point out. Steve from Salinas, save us.
Hey, I will. I'll point it out to you. Both of the study group and Bush's, I hate the expression stand up when we'll stand down when they stand up to the Iraqis, okay? Where would the young people, the young men, come from? You've got such a fragmented society. They've either fled the country. There's millions of refugees. You've got the Sunnis, the Shia, and the Kurds. You've got the militias. You've got the street gangs. You have an occupied country, and you're trying to save your butt. And I can't imagine there being a true group of, say, Iraqi patriots, young mm-hmm. men, that would get under one flag and step up to the plate in that society.
You make a good point, Steve. We're going to talk about Iraqi public opinion in the next segment, and I'm sorry to cut you for time purposes. Faz, what I just remembered was the Iraq Study Group is recommending that we put the cost of the war into the Pentagon budget, not these series of emergency authorizations.
Yeah. Supplemental.
Faz, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
Faz Shakir, Progress Report. Log on to progressreport.org. Coming up next, we'll take a look at that public opinion with Stephen Cull of PIPA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
During the holiday season, you can teach children to give as well as receive. I'm Nurse Rona. Join my guests, Reverend Brenda Sharp and David Spinrad, as we discuss ways to pass on values of generosity to children during the holidays and throughout the year.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Good day, sunshine.
Tonight,
here comes the sun.
In the sunshine of.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B. This half hour, we're going to explore public opinion and perceptions on the part of Americans about the war in Iraq and on the part of Iraqis about the American occupation and America's intentions. Stephen Kull, K-U-L-L, is director of PIPA, the Program on International Policy Attitudes and the Center on Policy Attitudes. He's a political psychologist who studies world public opinion on international issues. He's been widely published. His most recent book, co-authored with I.M. Destler, is called Misreading the Public, The Myth of a New Isolationism, published by Brookings. And he's a faculty member of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen Kull, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you. And I'm taking a look here at your website, which I want to direct people to. It's PIPA.org. Do you say PIPA or PIPA?
PIPA.
PIPA. I know I'd get...
Though we have a PIPA home site, the one that's really the most developed is the one called worldpublicopinion.org. That's
okay. I linked to that from...
Yeah, you can link to it from PIPA.
PIPA, okay. And there's an event underway today where you release some of this information, is that right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Tell us about that. Leveraging U.S. strength in an uncertain world.
Well, that was a larger conference sponsored by the Stanley Foundation that had covered quite a few topics, and we released this poll that we've done of the American people looking at a large range of international issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we released a piece of it related specifically to Iraq and some issues that corresponded to the ideas of the Iraq Study Group.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, did the Iraq Study Group look at polling of the American people in any way?
They talked in some depth about attitudes in among the Iraqi public, and they made references to the American public, so I'm quite certain they did.
Yeah, Leon Panetta in particular was interviewed yesterday and talking about the deep divide among the American people about this war and the need to try to unite the public and, I presume, public opinion behind a new way forward, and I'm a little vague on exactly what that means, but I do acknowledge the problem. And first up, does your polling reflect that divide?
Well, actually, when it comes to dealing with Iraq and the ideas of the Iraq Study Group, we found a lot of bipartisan consensus. The idea that we now need to talk with Iran, talk with Syria, got approval of 3/4 of Americans, including 72% of Republicans and just over 80% of Democrats. The idea of having a major conference with the U.S., UN, European Union, Arab countries got 79% approval and 79% of Republicans and 80% of Democrats. So we're finding a real consensus here on those issues. And the essence of it is a readiness to negotiate, a readiness to work with other parties in the region that we've had conflicts with and who we will probably continue to have conflicts with, to not take the stance that we will necessarily be in the dominant position to dictate the outcome of events there.
Mm-hmm. So then the divide that Leon Panetta was talking about, is that a thing of the past?
Well, not entirely. When we asked about how people feel about a timeline for withdrawing U.S. troops, there was quite a lot of difference. The overall 58% favored a timeline, and 38% said we should only withdraw as the security situation improves. And that again is a shift there, because the Iraq Study Group wants to not have an open-ended commitment.
Mm-hmm.
However, among Republicans, 64% favor this open-ended commitment to only withdraw as the security situation there improves, but while only 20% of the Democrats. In fact, Democrats would like to be out, most Democrats would like to be out within 1 year.
Mm-hmm. So in evaluating the attitudes of the American people as compared with the ideas in the 79 points of the Baker-Hamilton study group, Where is the greatest divergence, Stephen Cull?
Well, we haven't tested all of the 79 points.
I can understand, yeah.
And we actually have some more points going into the field tonight, so maybe next week we'll have more to tell you.
Okay.
But at this point, the essential convergence is around the readiness to negotiate. The differences are that Democrats are much more eager to get out. Now, another area of convergence that we found that was interesting is that when we asked if the Iraqi people want us out, say within a year, should the U.S. do that? 73% overall said yes, and that included 67% of Republicans as well as 82% of Democrats. But there's a big difference in their perception of whether that is in fact the case, whether Iraqis want the U.S. out within a year. Democrats think they do. Republicans think they don't. Who's right? Well, we did a poll in Iraq in September.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, 71% of Iraqis want the U.S. out within a year.
And while we're talking about Iraqi public opinion, how accurate are surveys, in your opinion, conducted in a chaotic climate like that of Iraq today?
Yeah, I know that's always something that confuses people. Most people are not living in a situation where there's violent conflict going on. We have over 100 polling points around the country that the interviewers go out from, and in each case we need to make an assessment of whether the security situation is stable enough. And just a few of them are not stable enough, so that we had to replace those polling points with another similar one, similar demographically. But it's really in some pretty tightly clustered areas that where the main violent conflict is happening.
We're talking with Stephen Cull. He's the director of the Program on International Policy Attitudes, PIPA. And if you have a question or comment about public opinion, either here in the U.S. or in Iraq, feel free to give us a call. Lines are open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. And Stephen Cull, in the survey of Iraqis this past September, one of the key findings, at least for me, is that 78% of those polled believe the U.S. military presence is provoking more conflict than it is preventing.
That's right.
Now, I think that's a critical point, and I have not had a chance to read the entire Iraq Study Group report. I'm relying so far on news summaries and accounts of it, but I have not seen that as a centerpiece, and I heard the President and the Prime Minister dance around that this morning and really fail to reflect on the occupation as a key trigger to the violence that we see today.
Yes, that's the question wasn't whether it's the biggest source of provocation for conflict, but it's certainly, on balance, the Iraqi people think that it creates more problems than it solves. At the same time, they're not saying we want you out immediately. Only about a third want the U.S. out as fast as possible. They want it to be a little more drawn out than that, but within the year, and that's clearly a key factor in their thinking. And we also asked Americans.
That was my next question, so go right ahead.
They think on that, and 60% of Americans believe that the U.S. military presence is provoking more conflict than it's preventing.
Mm-hmm.
And we also looked at there's a lot of party differences on that. Only 27% of Republicans think that, while 80% of Democrats think that.
Mm-hmm.
Most Republicans think that the U.S. military presence is a stabilizing force there. And this correlates a lot with people's attitude about whether we ought to get out or not.
Mm-hmm.
People who think it's provoking more conflict, a lot more of them want to get out. The clear majority of them want the U.S. out and within a year, and those who think it's a stabilizing force think we should stay.
Another finding from your survey of Iraqis, which did draw some attention, I believe, in October, was the note here. It says 6 out of 10 Iraqis, 61% in fact, approve of attacks on U.S.-led forces in their country, and that's a 14% increase in just a 9-month period.
Yeah, that really is a disturbing number. And it's what's surprising is that that doesn't, not all of those people say that they want the U.S. to get out immediately. So why do they support the attacks? Well, it appears that they do not think that the U.S. plans on ever leaving. And that's what, when we asked them whether they think the U.S. plans on having permanent bases there, about three-quarters say that they think that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And when we asked, well, do you think the U.S. would get out if the Iraqi government asked asked us to, three-quarters say no. They think that, we're going to stay there indefinitely, you know, to have a base there, even if we're asked to leave. And that, and thus, it appears they think they think it's important to have attacks on U.S. troops to hammer on the U.S. so that they leave eventually, even if some of these people don't want the U.S. to leave immediately.
Well, let me offer a viewpoint here and ask you if it's sustained by the data in your survey of Iraqis. People who do market research have explained to me that when you do random samples, phenomena are thought to be evenly distributed over the population groups. And so my inference from this is that members of the militias, of the Iraqi military, of the Iraqi police forces share these sentiments in roughly the same percentages. And this underscores one of my issues, which is that this a proposal from the Baker Study Group that more training and embedding U.S. forces as trainers with Iraqi forces would have the effect of bringing greater security to the country and allowing U.S. forces to stand down and ultimately leave. And to me, the biggest flaw in that argument is that presumably 61% or more of those in uniform in Iraq have this same attitude toward the United States. And you can embed all you want, but it is not going to create loyalty on the part of Iraqis in uniform toward their central government.
Well, if it is done within the context of a larger U.S. withdrawal, and if the Iraqi people really believed that our intention was to help them stabilize and to really phase out our presence there, there are pretty strong indications here that would change attitudes. Right now, most Iraqis think, again, we want to stay there permanently, we want to control their oil. And one of the things that the Iraq Study Group suggested is that we make clear statements to the government that we do not plan on having permanent bases and that we do not have the goal of controlling their oil. And if that really got through, that could conceivably have a significant impact on attitudes.
Mm-hmm. And just before we go to a break, I always like to give people who are interested a quick look at the metrics of these surveys. About 1,300 American adults in the survey that you just completed at the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
And likely voters or adults, what's the description of your target?
A nationwide sample, a random sample of the general public.
Mm-hmm. And was there any baseline to make sure they, you know, had a fundamental knowledge of the issues, or is it just kind of they answered the phone and we asked them a battery of questions?
Well, the way it's actually done with the company that we work with, people are recruited over the telephone and are asked if they're willing to be part of this panel, and then they're asked whether they have Internet access, and if they don't have Internet access, they're provided Internet access, and this creates a pool or panel. And then from that group, we draw a sample and then present the questionnaire to them over the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
This is a company called Knowledge Networks in California that has developed this method.
Okay. We're going to take a break and continue. Our guest is Stephen Kull from PIPA. That's the Program on International Policy Attitudes. And, Stephen, in the next segment, I want to explore some of your past polling. I took a look at the website and see that since 2004, perhaps earlier, you have been studying the deep divide between Democrats and Republicans in this country, and in particular the facts that they believe. We'll talk about that as we continue. And lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
This is Laura Perneta of Perneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Perneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Prunetta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Prunetta of Prunetta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunettaRealEstate.com.
Peter B. Collins Show, and we're going to talk about the divide between Democrats and these guys.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
We continue now with Stephen Cull. He's director of the program on International Policy Attitudes. That's PIPA. They're on the web at PIPA.org. And, Stephen, I played that song to illustrate the sharp divide between Democrats and Republicans. That, of course, is hyperbole. But it's based on the perceptions that progressive Democrats have of the Republicans who've been in power of the past 6 years. And I believe that there are equal divides, you know, when the right looks at the left. And you have been doing some studies. I looked at your website going back to 2004. You did a study called The Separate Realities of Bush and Kerry Supporters. I wanted to ask you about this because we know that on issues such as whether or not Iraq had WMD, whether Saddam had something to do with 9/11, that respondents have very different views based on their news sources and their political loyalties.
Yeah, it is really quite striking, and we have since updated that study earlier this year. And even with the passage of time, 60% of Republicans believe that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction or a major WMD program before the war, while only 23% of Democrats believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very striking difference. They have different views, too, of what experts are saying on that question. Democrats have 62% of Democrats believe that experts have come to the conclusion that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction, while Republicans are mixed on that. They don't. They're not sure overall what the experts have concluded. Now, I think it is fair to say that the experts have concluded that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction or even any significant program for developing them. There have been a number of government efforts to assess this, and
mm-hmm.
It's the Dulfo report and others. The Congress has looked at it, and it's really quite clear. Republicans have not seem to be absorbing that information.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've described this as Democrats and Republicans, but I also referenced news sources. And we know, for example, that Fox News Channel viewers have a higher belief in the WMD and the Iraq 9/11 connection.
Yeah, this was one we did a few years ago, and we looked at a number of misperceptions related to Iraq. The belief that weapons of mass destruction had been found in Iraq, that
mm-hmm.
Proof that Iraq had been supporting al-Qaeda had been found, and that a majority of world public opinion approved of the U.S. going to war with Iraq. Then we asked people where they, what was their primary source of news, and found that there was quite a lot of variation in the rate of misperceptions depending upon where people got their news. And the lowest level were people who primarily got their news from PBS or NPR. It was in the low 20s. I think it was 23%
in mm-hmm.
one of these misperceptions. While then it got higher. I think it was CNN was in the mid-50s, and then among Fox viewers, people who primarily got their news from Fox, it was 80%.
Oh, really?
These misperceptions.
Yeah. Now, what about talk radio? You know, we're outnumbered 14-1. Conservatives to the rest of us. And in talk radio, some of the hosts play even faster and looser with the facts.
We didn't break out talk radio as a specific kind of news source.
Irritant?
Maybe we should next time.
Okay. Well, if you do, I'd love to hear about it.
Okay.
Now, here's something else I found fascinating. Bush supporters also have numerous misperceptions about Bush. Majorities incorrectly assume that Bush supports multilateral approaches to various international issues. The Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, 69%. The Landmines Treaty, 72%. Global warming, 51% incorrectly assume he favors participation in the Kyoto Treaty. These are Republicans. And after he denounced the International Criminal Court, the perception that he favored it dropped from 66%, but still, in 2004, 53% continued to believe that he favors our involvement in the ICC. How does this happen?
Well, when people like a candidate, they tend to project their views onto them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, all of those things that you just listed are popular ideas among Republicans and Democrats. And so people have to get rather strong information and hear it repeatedly before they really come to the conclusion that their preferred candidate is not like them. People assume that about their member of Congress as well. People, when we asked people what they assumed about how their member of Congress had voted on these issues, they just tended to assume that their member of Congress was like them, when in many cases that was not the case.
Very interesting. Stephen, just about 30 seconds remaining. Any other findings that you'd like to share with us that you think we might find interesting?
Well, I think this at this point, what we're seeing is that Americans are now feeling that over the last few years, the world has become more afraid of the United States. That's a new poll that was just released today. They think that that is not good for American security, that this has made Americans less secure, the fact that more people in the world have become more afraid of the U.S.
Stephen Cull. Sorry, I'm out of time, Stephen.
Sure.
Thank you very much. He's Director of Program on International Policy Attitudes. That's PIPA on the web, PIPA.org. Nice to talk with you, sir.
You're welcome.
Coming up next, ex-con Dennis Fritz talks about his 11 years behind bars, and he was innocent. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The president insists he's realistic about Iraq.
I've been saying a lot. I understand how tough it is, and I've been telling the American people how tough it is, and they know how tough it is.
The man who tried to save his stranded family was done in by the weather.
The cause of death to James Kim was exposure with hypothermia.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. While Iraq Study Group co-chairman Lee Hamilton was telling Congress the situation in Iraq is perilously close to being hopeless, President Bush, after meeting at the White House with British Prime Minister Tony Blair, told a news conference he's disappointed by the pace of success. Pressed by a reporter, he said it's bad in Iraq and talked about changing strategy. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
More than ever before, President Bush committed himself to finding a new approach to the situation in Iraq.
If the present situation needs to be changed, it follows that we'll change it if we want to succeed.
He said the recommendations from the Iraq Study Group would factor into his thinking, though he has reservations about a number of them.
I don't think Jim Baker and Lee Hamilton expect us to accept every recommendation.
At a news conference with British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Mr. Bush made it clear their objective in Iraq remains victory. He plans a speech on his new strategy, but didn't say when. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The leaders of the Iraq Study Group met today with the Senate Armed Services Committee, and former Secretary of State James Baker presented all 79 recommendations as a package.
I hope we don't treat this like a fruit salad and say, I like this, but I don't like that. I like this, but I don't like that. This is a comprehensive strategy.
Baker revealed that President Bush recently authorized him to approach the government of Iran about the situation in Iraq, but the Iranians said they were not inclined to help this time around. Now this.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, when I was a kid, we were always moving.
Oh, was your dad in the Army?
No, he had a moving company.
This holiday, you know what to get someone on the go?
Corrugated boxes.
A 17-inch dual-core notebook with a gig of memory and a 120-gig hard drive. Just $699.99 after savings and rebates.
Wow.
Plus, CompUSA has complete gift packs.
Really?
Buy a main item like a notebook or a TV and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are 8 different complete gift pack categories. See CompUSA for details.
I've got a cough that won't quit. That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin chest congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
James Kim was already hungry and exhausted when he set out in the snow to get help for his stranded family. Oregon State Police Lieutenant Greg Hastings says he made a valiant effort before succumbing to exposure and hypothermia.
James, in his effort to try to seek help for his family, traveled well over 10 miles on foot during the time since he left on Saturday morning.
He was found dead yesterday. Kim's wife and two young daughters were rescued Monday from the site where their car had gotten stuck in the snow just days after Thanksgiving. The weather doesn't look good, but NASA will try to get Shuttle Discovery off the ground. Let's go live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Almost all aboard.
NTD, CDR, con check. CDR, this is NTD. I have you loud and clear. Welcome aboard, Roman.
That's the nickname for Commander Mark Polansky, who hopes he and his crew will be able to fly in about 2.5 hours. But low, thick clouds could mean a scrub, because Polansky's got to be able to see the runway if he has to turn around making an emergency landing here. For now, the countdown moves on. NASA's hoping for a break in the weather. Bill?
Authorities in Phoenix say they're sure now that a 42-year-old construction worker who's been jailed since September is the baseline killer, a criminal who raped, robbed, and shot people between August 2005 and last June.
We are submitting 71 criminal charges to the county attorney for prosecution against Mark Goudeau.
Police Chief Jack Harris says the charges include homicide. 9 of the victims died. 14 Taco Bells in New Delaware have closed temporarily as the company widens its effort to cope with an E. coli outbreak. At least one illness linked to Taco Bell has cropped up in Delaware. Hundreds of gray heads bowed at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, as survivors of the Japanese attack gathered to remember the 2,390 who perished on that December day in 1941. It's been 65 years, and the veterans don't know if they'll still be around for the next big memorial in 2011. Many say this ceremony was probably their last. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
New Michelin tires on sale from Sears, along with family, friends, and rum balls. Something to be thankful for. With new tires, you can drive to the store to buy the forgotten can of cranberry and the extra batteries. You can go to find the last-minute gift for that last-minute nephew who shows up late with his roommate. With Michelin tires, the holidays just seem brighter.
Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/06.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. Our program is produced by Matt Renner, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. This half hour, we talk about what it's like to be in jail when you're innocent of the crime that sent you there.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. Hot and low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say from under my breath?
This half hour, you're going to meet two men who were incarcerated, and they got out. And they didn't have to dig a tunnel, put on a guard's uniform, or use some other technique to bust out. They used legal processes. First up, Dennis Fritz joins us from, he was incarcerated in Oklahoma, and he's written a powerful new book called Journey Toward Justice, and it's just been published in hardcover from Seven Locks Press. Dennis Fritz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, just to summarize briefly your story, you lost your wife to a tragic murder, and then a few years later, you yourself were accused of and then convicted of a murder that you did not commit. And it took you 11 years and the help of Barry Scheck and the Innocence Project to convince people of your innocence and win your release.
Yeah, so it was a horrible, terrible period of time that I struggled, went through, especially both times, the loss, the murder of my wife, which was completely separate from this. And several years later, you know, I was falsely charged and thus convicted of first-degree capital murder of a 21-year-old girl from Ada, Oklahoma, whom I never had met or knew anything about the murder whatsoever.
And it involved, you know, jailhouse snitches, people who framed you, some phony evidence that was used. And you must have felt at some point just like giving up, because you knew in your heart that you were innocent. You proclaimed your innocence from the moment of your arrest, but nobody was hearing it. And at a certain point, did you actually give up?
That's one thing I would never allow myself to give up, Peter. I do admit that I was working on my case from the first week I hit the law library and learned everything I could about the criminal law and was capable of writing briefs. I had no representation because I wasn't convicted of the death penalty. But in Oklahoma, if you get a life sentence, you never make pro. And denial after denial, as I went up through the court system, you know, I started sliding down the rope each time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reached the United States Supreme Court, at that time I was hanging on to bare threads. I contacted the co-defendant, Ronnie Keith Williamson, who is one of the two main characters along with myself in The Innocent Man, John Grisham's book.
Right.
Received a new trial, which set the wheels in motion for our eventual release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you were suffering through this, Dennis, did you expect that justice would ultimately triumph and that the guilty man would be found as a way of proving your innocence?
Well, you know, I hopefully with every strand of energy and thought that I had, I believed from the very get-go when I was falsely charged that justice would have prevailed at my trial, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And as the years rolled by, I realized that, you know, I was the only one that, you know, could actually change the course of my wrongful conviction. And, you know, I, along with the good Lord upstairs, surged ahead, and I owe everything, you know, to the Lord for helping me gain my freedom, because if it had been left up to man and man alone, I'd still be in there today.
Yeah. Well, and Dennis, you were a high school teacher, so you were a person who knew how to read and write. You understood the basic processes of our criminal justice system, even if, you know, you had to learn the details of a writ of habeas corpus and all those kinds of things. I've met a lot of guys in prison who were there because they didn't have their wits, they didn't have the skill set, they didn't have the basic awareness of how things work in order to assert their rights and get the most out of the processes.
Yes, exactly. And also a lot of those inmates, including what you've just described, they don't have the support of their family members, and they're all alone. They're subject to the total unfairness of the judicial system, and they give up hope. The majority of the people, you know, in prison, of course, are guilty, and thus they become institutionalized. Now, I never would allow myself to flow with that area, although, you know, at each denial that I received through the federal courts, you know, the gradual effects of institutionalization beckon at you and almost it tries to lure you to give up, let go of the rope, and just become like a part of the mass. But I separated myself from that illusion and kept, you know, moving forward.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dennis Fritz. His powerful new book is the description of his fight for his freedom. It's called Journey Toward Justice, and it's out in hardcover right now. And it was the Innocence Project that helped him win his freedom. I have the newsletter from one of the organizations. It's the Northern California Innocence Project, with the great news that two of the inmates that they helped win their freedom, John Stahl and Peter Rose, have been awarded respectively $700,000 and $325,000 from the state of California at the rate of $100 a day for their wrongful imprisonment. What did Oklahoma give you, Dennis Fritz, when you were proven innocent and released from your sentence?
Well, it's actually, Peter, it's an undisclosed amount of money that I can't talk about.
Okay.
But, you know, I expected $1 million a year, you know, for what the pain and suffering and torment that myself and my family went through. And, it wasn't that amount of money, but it was a substantial amount of money to help rebuild my life and so forth. As a matter of fact, after I was released, which actually set a precedent for the state of Oklahoma, they did enact those laws to where a wrongfully convicted inmate would receive, $100,000 to $125,000, which is nothing, for 15, 20 years of incarceration.
Yeah. Dennis, I wanted to give you an opportunity here. Our radio stations that carry this program reach Soledad Prison in the central part of California, that's near Salinas, and also Pelican Bay, the Supermax hard lockdown facility near Crescent City. And I'd like you to take a minute here and describe how you got in touch with the Innocence Project and how that process works in case there's an innocent inmate who's listening to this program right now.
Well, actually, I first heard, Peter, about the Barry Scheck, Peter Neufeld, the directors of the Innocence Project in New York, through the Law Library. And I contacted them. And basically, they take cases that are DNA related, although now I hear that they are taking, other types of cases without DNA on a limited amount.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just say, to the prisoners, if you are innocent, just scream your innocence from the housetops and try every avenue that you can in the press to get your plea of innocence heard. It's a very difficult thing to do, but if you shout long enough and some sooner or later someone's going to listen to your pleas.
All right, sir. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to add another Dennis to the mix here. Dennis Jones, he's the founder of the Freedom Foundation, which he started at San Quentin when he was an inmate there. And it's intended, like the Innocence Project, to help individuals who've been incarcerated and they're innocent. If you have a question or comment, you can join us, too. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree. We have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Well, we have a Jackknife Big Rig in Cashville. Southbound 1 at Merritt Street. Jackknife Big Rig has been cleared from the roadway over to the right-hand shoulder, but crews are still on scene clearing about 30 gallons of spilled diesel from this Big Rig. So you are going to see some very sluggish traffic approaching the scene there. Again, it's Southbound 1 at Merritt Street in Cashville. Carmel Center Street at Doris Drive. We have an accident reported involving a bus, actually. So CHP is on scene working on clearing that up. Just write and report before they clear on out of there. Monterey County, Laurelis Grade Road at Highway 68, we have a stall vehicle actually blocking one of the lanes partially there. CHP not quite sure which lane that is, so they're en route to check that out as well. Highway 17, both directions through the Santa Cruz Mountains, checking in, stalling, accident-free. This report is brought to you by Kmart. You know those Christmas gifts that just make you feel warm all over? Kmart has them. Get cozy outerwear for the whole family at 40% off. Hurry, sale ends Sunday, December 10th, Kmart, where Christmas comes together. I'm Diane with Traffic, KRXA 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you still enjoying yourselves a little? Thank you. The thrill is gone. I need your help on this one, then. You have to help me. I have to have your help on this one if you want the thrill. All right.
That's Riley B. King.
That's all right. That feels all right.
B.B. King, the King of the Blues.
Right here. That's all right.
Recorded live at San Quentin State Prison here in California. And the liner notes for the Grammy Award-winning record that came out of this session were written by my friend Dennis Jones, who joins us now here on the show. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Great to talk to you again.
All right.
I met Dennis Jones at San Quentin Prison, where he founded the Freedom Foundation, an organization aimed at helping those who were incarcerated in the prison system in California and who were absolutely innocent of the crime that sent them there. And, Dennis, I just want to commend you for the work that you started there. Tell us a little bit about what motivated you to take on that that difficult kind of work.
Well, you know, I was sentenced to a life term in prison in 1976 for a crime I was just peripherally involved in. And by the time they got done, I was convicted of everything. I actually had 11 crime partners in this caper, and four of them I didn't even meet till I was in county jail, so I never dreamed I could be convicted of anything.
Yeah.
And when I was in there, I saw a 60-minute show one day, and it had a good story on there about a guy down in Texas who was innocent and was convicted of some robberies and got life for it. And the story showed about how he was eventually proven innocent. And I got to thinking, you know, that there's got to be a lot of people just like him because I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I got to be able to do something about this. And I didn't think I could just sit there and do nothing if I was capable of doing something. So I started the Freedom Foundation and used my music industry contacts to get some benefit concerts going to raise some money for the organization.
Yeah.
And then as Peter got involved in it, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. Dennis Fritz is still with us, too. He's the one who's written this powerful book, Journey Toward Justice, about his 11-year fight for his freedom as an innocent man who was convicted of murder. And, Dennis Fritz, what you just heard about Dennis Jones, I mean, there are many similarities here where people get accused of a crime and have no idea how to defend themselves because they didn't have anything to do with it.
Yes, when I was in the penitentiary, there's so many men that are overcharged. Perhaps they were along. I know one incident, specific conviction, to where this man was like totally drunk, passed out in the back seat with three other people in the car. They went to a crime scene, committed a robbery and a murder, and then took him, woke him up after they took him home. Or took him home and dropped him off, and he knew nothing whatsoever that a crime had been committed. But as it turned out, the other defendants charged in the case, two of them ended up turning state's evidence against him in the penitentiary.
Yeah.
And he's still there now today.
And Dennis Jones, one of the cases that you and I worked on for many years, Dale Zolman, he was a guy who was accused of killing somebody, and his alibi was something he couldn't use in court because he was at a motel with another man's wife at the time that this crime occurred, and the woman he was with said that her husband would kill her if he used that as his alibi in court.
Yeah, and another interesting thing about that Zolman case was that he supposedly killed somebody on a hilltop and drugged the body down the ravine. And at the time, he just hurt his leg in a motorcycle accident. He was on crutches and couldn't possibly drag a body down a ravine. Matter of fact, his leg was amputated later after he got to prison.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's ironic. And I'd like to just comment on something Dennis said earlier, too. Two things, in fact. One was he said he didn't let himself get institutionalized. You know, a lot of people don't realize if you're sentenced to prison for a crime that you actually committed, whether you get 5 years, 10 years, or life, you know, you eventually reconcile yourself to the fact that you have to do that time. So it gets a little bit easier every day as you do it, as you reconcile yourself, and you get institutionalized, and time just goes on, and it gets a little easier as you go. But if you're innocent, it doesn't. It actually gets harder every day because you're so frustrated with the fact that you're there for something you didn't do. You don't know what to do to help yourself. It's very, very, very frustrating.
And especially if your sentence is open-ended, either without a possibility of parole or the parole process is so politicized that it is the same as life without parole.
Oh, yeah, and he also mentioned that, scream to the mountaintops if you're innocent. And, you know, I just like to say to anybody out there who might be innocent, you know, just do anything you can to help yourself. Sit down every day and write a letter to somebody that you think might help you. Just one letter a day is 365 letters a year. And if you just keep doing it, something's going to happen. Something will pop for you sooner or later.
Yeah, and in addition to the Innocence Project, there's Centurion Ministries in New Jersey, and there are other organizations that you can find in different localities that offer support for people who have credible claims of innocence.
Absolutely.
Dennis Fritz, I want to turn to you for a moment here. How do you feel about the way the U.S. has locked up people at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere without trials, without charges, and with an indefinite sentence that could be life or could be death?
It's absolutely incredible that you know, this is still prevailing, you know, in the United States or even out anywhere in the world. And it's just something that stems from people's lack of knowledge, what's really been swept under the rug by a lot of the prosecutors over the course of time, because, you know, they receive no real strong reprimand from their actions. They get tapped on the hand, you know, and by the courts, and you know, just don't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there needs to be strong sanctions made, you know, against prosecutors that do this type of thing, especially in convictions to where there is truly exculpatory information that is hidden by the prosecutor and such. And, you know, these prosecutors, they need to be under the thumb of conviction.
Yeah, and I raise it because it's high profile. A lot of people who listen to this program know about the plight of these detainees who've been labeled unlawful enemy combatants. But there are thousands of men in California alone who deserve to be released, who have been sentenced, like Dennis Jones was, to what's called a life top. And the Board of Prison Terms Parole Board is supposed to honestly evaluate their fitness for release. But over the years, the process has been so heavily politicized that very few individuals get out, and Dennis Jones is one of the lucky ones. So if you live in California, I'd just like to make you aware that we have serious problems in terms of our criminal justice system and the fairness to some key inmate groups. Gentlemen, thanks a lot for joining us. Dennis Fritz's book is Journey Toward Justice. Watch for Dateline NBC coming up in January. There'll be a segment on his book and his life. And again, Dennis Fritz, congratulations on your 11-year struggle to win your release.
Thank you so much, Peter. And Dennis, my heart goes out to you, and just keep up the good work.
Thanks, Dennis. Nice to meet you.
And Dennis Jones of the Freedom Foundation, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter.
You bet. In a moment, Ray McGovern joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll talk about the Gates confirmation this week.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The one word you won't find. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Most of the commentary on the Iraq Study Group says the report provides no new ideas. But that misses the point. In fact, the report itself is a dramatically new idea. It was a Fox reporter who noticed that the report never once mentions the word which until now has been at the center of our Iraq policy. Not once does it mention victory. Instead, it talks about avoiding catastrophe.
Isn't that going to be a part of an elaborate communication process with the American people to rally around avoiding catastrophe as opposed to rallying around definable victory?
Co-chair James Baker didn't address the marketing issue, but he admitted to deliberately avoiding emotional words like victory in favor of words like success.
If you implement the recommendations we make, the chances for success in Iraq will be improved.
This is what happens when you put a bunch of bipartisan moderates together and ask them to actually come up with a practical solution. You get complexity. And that, in time of war, is a dramatically new idea.
The Democrat goal is to get out of Iraq. The Republican goal is to win in Iraq.
In time of war, complexity is a shockingly new idea.
We will accept nothing less than complete victory.
We will settle for nothing less than complete victory.
And never accept anything less than complete victory.
Less than complete victory.
This report has cast the president as a bronze war hero in the town square, eternally declaring victory, helpless against the pigeons.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. It was a sorry spectacle Tuesday as pretentious patrician manners trumped courage and vitiated the advice and consent prerogative carefully honed by the framers of our Constitution for the United States Senate. Those are the words of Ray McGovern. He posted that piece at truthout.org today, and it's entitled Constitution Takes a New Hit from Senators at Gates Hearing. Ray McGovern served with distinction in our Central Intelligence Agency for over 25 years. At one point, Robert Gates reported to Ray McGovern. And in previous conversations, Ray has laid out the critical case about Robert Gates, about the way he has micromanaged, the way he played favorites and played up to William Casey and other political patrons, the way he politicized intelligence related to Iran-Contra, to the Soviet Union, and ultimately led to his rejection in the first attempt to make him CIA director in the mid-1980s. Ray McGovern joins us on the phone this afternoon. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Peter B. Good to be back with you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I'm as disappointed and disgusted at the proceedings this week. I've labeled them the easy-breezy, lazy-duck confirmation session, because the Democrats didn't even attempt to bruise this guy or even to fill the record with the honest assessment of his past.
Yes, it's a bad harbinger of things to come, I'm afraid, Peter B., because if the other Democratic senators and representatives don't show more resolve and more due diligence, really, in fulfilling their constitutional responsibilities, we'll be in just as much trouble as we were last year.
Now, do you have any idea why the Democrats as a team decided not to contest the Gates nomination?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. They're very clubby up there in the Senate, and John Warner is going to be out in the cold now. He's looking for a committee to chair. He will no longer be chair of the Armed Forces Committee, which is the Armed Services, I should say, which is the most important one in the Senate. And I imagine what happened is he came to Carl Levin and he said, you know, pretty please, may I would it be okay if I did this last deed here by approving Gates? And Levin, to his discredit, didn't think twice and said, well, sure, perhaps because Levin didn't want that to be his first responsibility when he took over chairmanship of that committee. To do it right would have been very messy. And there's this overweening desire to get rid of Rumsfeld.
But that's taken care of.
Well, yeah.
You can be as happy as you want that Rumsfeld is gone, but to then lay down for his replacement a man with a checkered record as checkered as Gates, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, there was the ABR factor, and it was very strong. Anybody but Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
And I try to make the case that they didn't need to rush through this thing. Nothing's going to happen before the beginning of next year anyway. Send Rumsfeld off to the, you know, to the farm and do the right job with Gates, because there is more evidence that has surfaced since 1991, the last time he was subjected to such hearings, which is very damaging about his candor on Iran-Contra and on other things.
Well, Levin himself did reference the 91 hearings. and they were spread over a four and a half month period. There was deep investigation. Thousands of documents were reviewed, and ultimately Levin voted against the Gates confirmation at that time, saying that he just didn't trust him, and he cited Lawrence Walsh as another critic of the candor of Robert Gates. And so for him to go so lightly this time, and I did note that in the second or third round of questions that Levin had, he did address some of the past, but he did it in a dismissive and very passive way and basically just pleaded with Gates to offer any explanation, and then he volunteered, "My time is up."
Yeah. Well, it was clearly for the folks back home. You know, he's cast as a very liberal senator. And for him not to even have mentioned any of this would not have gone well with his constituents at home. So he was going through the motions. The fix was in. He felt that he had to get the question on the record. He also asked Gates, you know, why he said in 1994 that none of his subordinates ever questioned his testimony when at least two of them directly contradicted his testimony. And Gates said, well, I didn't have my background documents with me when I wrote that.
Oh, yeah.
So Levin said, oh, okay. It was a charade, and it had to do with wanting to get somebody in there. And I suppose some of the Democrats felt that, look, we're not going to get anybody better than Gates. The next guy that the president will probably put up will be even worse. So why don't we get done with it, get him in place. He's the kind of guy we might be able to beat up on if we have to. Let the thing go. And that's not constitutionally correct. That's not living up to their responsibilities. But they did it anyway. And
indeed,
the way they did it was just so sickening. I sat through the whole thing, and all this posturing and obsequiousness and the right, I don't say the right honorable here, but they say the distinguished senator from here, distinguished. Man, they get real old real quick when people are dying in Iraq.
And if you were to edit out the encomia, you know, all that blather about the distinguished chairman and looking forward to Levin being chairman and loved Warner as chairman, I mean, you cut that out, and these hearings were, well, almost faster than a drive-through McDonald's.
You know, I'm really waiting for our new senator here. I live in Arlington, Virginia, and our new senator, James Webb, he's a pretty plain-spoken guy, and he doesn't take any of this stuff, as we saw from the way he reacted to the president's rather dumb question of him about how his son was doing. People probably don't know that the Humvee next to his son had just been blown up the day before.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he lost several of his comrades. And I thought that Jim Webb handled himself with great, great restraint, because I think I would have said, well, how are your daughters doing there in the bars of Argentina while my son's there in Baghdad riding his tank? So so Jim Webb's going to be in the Senate, and that's going to be a real new deal. And that's what gave me hope as I sat through these charades on Tuesday, where I could say, well, at least Webb will be in there, and maybe he can speak some common sense and remind them. You know, what really, really troubles me is our Virginia heritage here. I mean, Warner is posturing as the descendant of people like Patrick Henry or James Madison or George Mason. My goodness, those people were real patriots, and they had real courage. They didn't go distinguish this, distinguish that. They bit the bullet. They wrote the Constitution. And I imagine they're rolling over in their graves right now, Peter B., at the spectacle of their descendants pretending to be descendants of Virginia patriots and giving away the game, not living up to their responsibilities under the division of power parts of the Constitution.
Ray McGovern with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments, welcome. 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free. That's 888-573-8372. Now, Ray, we've talked with you, we've talked to Mel Goodman, and gotten a pretty good critical analysis of Robert Gates and why he shouldn't have been easily confirmed, if at all. And I'm curious, did any of the Democratic senators on the Armed Services Committee reach out to you or Mel Goodman and ask you for a written statement, a deposition, or even to testify at the hearing?
They did not. And that, of course, is not surprising, but it's just as depressing. We took the initiative and published several op-eds, and I did everything I could with all the contacts I have on the Hill to make sure that Senator Levin saw what I had produced most recently in the Miami Herald on Monday.
And do we know that he saw it?
All I know is that I gave it to one of his aides.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never know.
Right.
But one of the things that I was trying to raise here is simply that in 1991, during the hearings on Gates' confirmation to be the head of the CIA, I swore an affidavit disposition on a personal experience I had where, in the course of my duties, I looked into the question of what we had said about Iranian support for terrorism. And there was a very, very strange anomaly that leapt out of the conclusions I reached, and that was that up until November of 1985, we were consistent in saying Iran was giving all kinds of support to terrorism. All of a sudden, at the end of November, on the 22nd, we started saying, oh, wait a second, Iranian support for terrorism has dropped off significantly. And we said that for the next couple of months, and in May we went back to the real story. Now, why this anomaly? Why this discontinuity in coverage here? Well, it was precisely the time when we were sending Hawk missiles, TOW anti-tank missiles to Iran, with Israel acting as a middle person, and we needed to persuade Ronald Reagan. Look, you know, they're not such bad guys. They're dropping off on their support for terrorism, and so you know it's going to be all right. And maybe they'll release the hostages too. So it was all incredibly disingenuous, and it was done precisely on Gates's watch. And when I told him that, a month later, he wrote just the opposite. The Washington Post and the Foreign Affairs Journal and in our own little studies in intelligence, our professional journal, he said that no one ever wrote that in a CIA publication. And, of course, I had already shown him that, that three such publications had already done that. So this is just before my retirement. I could be dissed and no. I went to my immediate boss, which was the fellow between Gates and me, and I said, look, this really needs to be corrected. We have to correct the record, at least in our scholarly journal, the Studies in Intelligence. And surprise, surprise, he said, well, you know, let me think about it. Nothing ever happened.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, Ray, as you look at this situation, what you just described was the manipulation of intelligence for political purposes.
Right.
That's a fundamental issue right now. And we have this incredible scene in Washington where everybody's talking about the way forward, but they're not looking about how we got stuck in the present situation that requires a new way forward. And so there's this massive denial about the fixed intelligence. The Downing Street memos said it was fixed around the policies. And we know. It's as obvious as the failed policies of the occupation that the failure of intelligence was significant. And here's a former bigwig from the CIA who was barely asked about the faulty intelligence or the misuse of intelligence that got us to the situation where we need Gates to replace Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not as if these are detached, unrelated subjects.
Yeah, it's a real duh, isn't it? As I was watching, I was hoping that one of the senators would at least broach this directly, but none did. The closest they came was Senator Mark Dayton from Ohio. He's a Democrat.
He's actually from Minnesota.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess
Dayton's a city in Ohio, but he's from the Dayton Hudson retail chain.
You're right. Yeah, he's not going to be a senator any longer.
Right. He's in his. He's a total lame duck.
Yeah. Anyhow, he said, "Look, given what we know today, Dr. Gates, about the absence of weapons of mass destruction." And given the predicament we're in today, with the benefit of hindsight, would you say that invading Iraq was the right decision or the wrong decision? I knew what Gates was going to say. You know, he said, well, we're going to have to leave it to the historians to decide that. Give me a break, you know?
Well, and you quote him in your piece here. I heard him say this. I thought Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, just like every other intelligence service in the world. And this is so infuriating, because there were 10 million people who took to the streets around the world to say, we don't believe the need for the invasion of Iraq. We don't believe this straw man about WMD. And they act as if the whole world believes that. It simply isn't true, Ray.
Yeah, and more disingenuous still, Peter B., is this canard. You know, this is Fox News guidance. What you say is, not only were we deceived, but every other intelligence service believed it. Well, you know, what people don't realize, where do they think every other intelligence service gets the kind of information from denied areas like Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
They get it from us.
Yep. Mistakes were made, but nobody made them. We're going to take a break and return with Ray McGovern.
Okay.
If you want to talk with us, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We have a Stahl Big Rig in Hollister. It's 156 and Fairview Road. This is actually Stahl Big Rig blocking one of the lanes there. So CHP and Roots, check out exactly which lane it's blocking. Monterey County, Laurelis Grade Road at Highway 68. We have a Stahl. One of the lanes partially blocked. CHP is on scene working on clearing that one out. In Cashville, southbound 1 at Merritt Street, we have a Jackknife Big Rig, which has actually been cleared from the lanes over to the right-hand shoulder. Crews are still on scene cleaning up, though. There's about 30 gallons of spilled diesel fuel in the roadway when this Big Rig jackknife. So traffic definitely heavy approaching the scene there. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains, checking in, stalling, accident-free. This report is brought to you by Kmart. You know those Christmas gifts that just make you feel warm all over? Kmart has them. Get cozy outerwear for the whole family at 40% off. Hurry, sale ends Sunday, December 10th. Kmart, where Christmas comes together. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them.
And we continue with Ray McGovern. I want to invite you to go to truthout.org and read the piece that he wrote and posted today. And, Ray, the thing that really bends my mind is that I had no illusions that Gates would be denied this nomination. But I did expect the Democrats to have a thorough hearing and at least fill the record with his history and with more information about what he intends to do in his new post. And so it came as a real shock to me that it was 95-2, and the people who agree with you and me are the wackoest of the wackos in the Republican Party, Jim Bunning of Kentucky and the outgoing Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania. Not one Democrat voted against this nomination. Couldn't Harry Reid throw me a bone and let, you know, Boxer or Feingold or, you know, one of those libs vote against it just for token purposes?
Well, I think this is a bipartisanship run amok, Peter B. And I just hope that this is sort of like not a harbinger of things to come, but rather kind of a token of what has been. Clearly, they didn't see much problem in letting this fellow come on, that they felt that he, whatever his sins of the past, that maybe he's reformed in, over the last 13 years when he's been outside the Beltway. And I suppose my attitude now is he's confirmed. Let's see what he can do. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and see where he leads us. The big question, in my view, Peter B., is whether Dick Cheney has been damaged by the removal of Rumsfeld. Colin Powell's chief of staff, Colonel Wilkerson, spoke often and well about the Cheney-Rumsfeld cabal,
sure,
which he said often made decisions without even telling the president. Now, I suppose you need at least two people to have a cabal, but if you can do it with one, I think Cheney's the guy that can do it.
The one-man cabal.
But if he retains the kind of influence that I think he has, just judging from the completely intransigent statements of the president with respect to Iraq over the last 10 days, if Cheney still has that influence, then Gates' modus operandi, well, not to be to contend with that, but rather to become Cheney's best friend and actually write the memos that would justify things like bombing the heck out of the Iranian nuclear facilities.
Mm-hmm. So, well, and you know, Cheney's a little distracted because his lesbian daughter's going to make him a grandpa.
Yeah. I guess that's big news in that family. So
it's going to be a little uncomfortable there in the ultra-conservative circles. How do you congratulate Dick on...
Well, I'm sure he can do it,
Let's take a call. Tom joins us from Phoenix. Hello, Tom. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Ray McGovern.
Thank you for taking the call.
Hi, Tom.
You know, what you said, Peter, just now about that you had no illusions that he wasn't going to be passed, but you were a little shocked that there wasn't at least a show that there might be a democratic process. Is the point I want to bring out. I would think that, and I'm surprised that I don't hear more of this. You know, the year 2000, we found out that the illusion of democracy is over. The whole sitcom around the Chads, I think, made us open our arms and welcome in these electronic voting machines. And now that we have those, for sure, like elections can be manipulated. Now, I'm really happy that Democrats have won, because now we'll find out that there truly is no difference and there truly is no democratic process. The real constituents of our elected officials are not the electorate, but rather the people that put them in the office. And they allow us to have one or two dissenting voices that make, kind of like, what was Kerry? Kerry almost made it look like a debate. I mean, he made it look like there were two different sides. But, you know, look at the moment that the voting was, quote, over, he bowed out quickly as he could. I mean, it's clear to me democracy is gone. But I feel like there's not enough people that realize that. What do you guys have to say?
Well, I think we've had major setbacks. Let's ask Ray.
Well, I think the jury is out. We have had a surprising result on November 7th. The proof will be in the pudding when these characters come in and they're ruling these committees and they have the power of subpoena and they can hold people responsible. Now, I think that they're soft-pedaling it right now for fear of getting everybody all upset. But the proof will be in the pudding in January, and we'll see. You know, we'll see whether investigations will show up what really happened before the war in Iraq and what's really happening now and what's happening with those contractors that are war profiteers and all that kind of thing. I have more hope, certainly, than I did before November 7th, and I'm reminded that it was people like us, who made the difference. It wasn't the money people, the people that support these candidates.
Well, and just don't just remind us. We need to remind the Democrats apparently frequently.
Yeah, exactly. So
now, Ray, I want to take a moment here to offer my gratitude to you, because you have offered a great type of resistance to the wayward government that we have. And singularly, you took on Don Rumsfeld in Atlanta in May or June this year in an event that got pretty widely televised. You dogged him in vigils at his home. And you were appropriately relentless in working to expose his failings and get him out. And while we have new challenges with Gates and with our president in denial going forward, wherever that is, I want to thank you for helping close the chapter on Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of Defense.
Well, the same back at you, Peter B., because it's people like you that put this kind of truth on the airwaves so people can hear it. They don't often see it on TV, but at least it's available to them if they're smart enough to tune in.
All right, Ray, we'll talk again soon. Let's keep fighting.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
Ray McGovern, a fine American. Please check out the piece he posted at truthout.org today. And next, ladies and gentlemen, the Free Speech Zone. We open up the lines for your phone calls. Let's talk about Bush. Let's talk about Iraq. And let's talk about Gates. Lines open for you the entire hour coming up. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The leaders of the Iraq Study Group say the 79 recommendations are a comprehensive plan, and they're urging leaders in Washington not to pick and choose.
If you think you can solve the problem of Iraq by manipulating the troop levels, I think you got it dead wrong. If you think you can solve the problem by economic reconstruction or political action, I think that's wrong, too.
Co-Chairman Lee Hamilton and James Baker appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee today, while President Bush met with British Prime Minister Tony Blair at the White House. Later, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports they held a joint news conference.
There was no mistaking how much it irritated President Bush when a British reporter suggested he's in denial about how badly things are going in Iraq.
It's bad in Iraq. Can I help?
But did he accept the Iraq Study Group's description that the situation is grave and deteriorating?
Make no mistake about it. I understand how tough it is, sir. I talk to the families who die. I understand their sectarian violence.
And Mr. Bush insists the U.S. and its allies can and will prevail in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
It seems likely the crew of Space Shuttle Discovery will not spend the night in orbit, but NASA hasn't given up yet. Let's get a live update from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Bill, roll call time on Discovery came a little while ago.
CDI, Atlanta clear.
BLT, MS-1, MS-2,
MS-3,
MS-4,
MS-5.
All 7 astronauts aboard waiting to learn whether the weather will clear enough for them to start their 12-day mission to the International Space Station. Thick, low clouds here. Bad weather at the 3 emergency landing sites overseas could scrub the launch. Shuttle's in good shape, ready for the first nighttime launch in 4 years, hopefully in about an hour and a half. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
Authorities in southern Oregon say James Kim died of exposure to the elements and hypothermia. His body was found yesterday, 4 days after he'd set out to help find help for his stranded family. CBS News correspondent John Blackstone reports Kim did have a plan.
He believed that he was trying to make his way toward a river that led to a town that he and his wife saw on a map. They studied the map, thought that the town was about 4 miles from where they were. In reality, the town was about 15 miles from where they were.
Officials say Kim walked about 10 miles before he died. His wife and children were rescued Monday. California Attorney General Bill Lockyer sued Hewlett-Packard, claiming the company engaged in unfair business practices when it tried to plug boardroom leaks. Today, HP agreed to a $14.5 million settlement. Lockyer says most of the money will fund investigations into violations of privacy and intellectual property rights. Today on Wall Street, the Dow fell 30 points to 12,278, the Nasdaq down 18 points to 2427, and the price of oil rose to $62.49 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's showing us the latest ways to spruce up for the holidays at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale. Laura?
The season calls for touches of silver and gold, so anything that shines is catching my eye. Look at these silver plates. They really say holiday magic.
Wow.
Then it's straight over to metallic tops to dress up any outfit.
Incredible savings await you at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale this Friday and Saturday. Find lowest prices of the season on Friday Night Owl and Saturday Early Bird Specials. Kohl's. Expect great things.
CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was on hand when the Grammy nominations were announced in Los Angeles.
The 5 nominees for Record of the Year represent a wide range in music. R&B star Mary J. Blige is a nominee. Also up for Record of the Year is James Blunt. The hip-hop duo Gnarls Barkley is a nominee for Crazy. Smooth-singing British newcomer Corinne Bailey-Ray is a nominee for Put Your Records On. The final nominee is the Dixie Chicks. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
We'll find out who won on February 11th. It prevents unwanted pregnancy and freshens your breath. Drug maker Warner Chilcott is introducing a new chewable contraceptive called Femcon FE. It's an option for women who don't like to swallow pills. It's flavored with spearmint. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixley.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, when I was a kid, we were always moving.
Oh, was your dad in the Army?
No, he had a moving company.
This holiday, you know what to get someone on the go?
Corrugated boxes?
A 17-inch dual-core notebook with a gig of memory and a 120-gig hard drive.
Ah.
Just $699.99 after savings and rebate.
Wow.
Plus, CompUSA has complete gift packs.
Really?
Buy a main item like a notebook or a TV and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy 3 or more. There are 8 different complete gift pack categories. See CompUSA for details.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
Note to self, you're not out of scotch, but you are out of ice. It's the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today, and this is our final hour, I think, on KSAC 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. They're making a program change to pick up some live show that'll start in the next day or two. And I want to thank our listeners in Sacramento and direct you to our website, peterbcollins.com. That's where you can find our live stream. Onward now into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Do you know the rules? We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And to top it off, we pay for the call. In fact, I just sent a check out today to cover the cost of our toll-free number. And it's 888-5-PETER-B. You know that? 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. So I've been working through this cold cough thing, and I had a little scotch last night, went to bed early, and slept in a little bit. And I flipped on the Tubus Boobus, and, well, you know, the morning TV shows were giving us recipes and some new fashion ideas. And then I was on CBS, I think it was a recipe thing there, and it got interrupted. And Katie Couric came on to tell us that the president was about to host a news conference with Britain's Tony Blair. And it was a bit of video shock, media shock, because I think of Katie Couric as the host of the Today Show, who mostly talks about shoes and recipes. And now she's the news anchor. And so I stayed there in bed, and I watched Bush and Blair as they talked about the Baker Commission report. And I'm about to play for you an exchange between a British reporter who knows how to ask a tough question and a dancing, spinning, deceitful George W. Bush. The question is very direct. The answer? Hardly so. Let's listen.
Nick Robinson, BBC News. Mr. President, the Iraq study group described the situation in Iraq as grave and deteriorating. You said that the increase in attacks is unsettling. That will convince many people that you're still in denial about how bad things are in Iraq and question your sincerity about changing course.
It's bad in Iraq. That help?
Why did it take others to say it?
Now, this is bizarre. And George W. Bush just impersonated John Stewart impersonating George W. Bush. Did you hear that? I mean, first he said how tough it is in Iraq, and then he snickered. All right, he goes on.
Well, you've been willing to acknowledge it to the world.
You know, in all due respect, I've been saying a lot. I understand how tough it is, and I've been telling the American people how tough it is, and they know how tough it is. And the fundamental question is...
Now, hold on there. It's good to know that you now say you know how tough it is and that you acknowledge the American people know that. But that last one, I'm not sure.
Do we have a plan to achieve our objective? Are we willing to change as the enemy has changed? And what the Baker Hamilton study has done is it shows good ideas as to how to go forward. What our Pentagon is doing is figuring out ways to go forward, all aiming to achieve our objective. Make no mistake about it. I understand how tough it is, sir. I talk to the families who die.
Now, that's interesting. He means the families of the people who've died.
I understand there's sectarian violence. I also understand that we're hunting down Al-Qaeda on a regular basis.
All right. So now, once again, he introduces and interjects Al-Qaeda into the situation in Iraq. Now, there may be up to 1,000 Al-Qaeda followers or members, and certainly their goal is to destabilize the occupation. But that's what Bush can't bring himself to talk about. And I haven't heard anyone reference the occupation as the true irritant. We talked earlier today to the pollster Stephen Cull about that September 2006 survey of Iraqis who believe that the U.S. occupation is contributing to the violence more than it is reducing it. And I think that is a fair perception. But you never hear the president talk about the occupation as the trigger or irritant in Iraq, nor do they ever discuss the occupation by Israel of Palestine as one of the underlying irritants there. Bush goes on.
We're bringing them to justice. I understand how hard our troops are working. I know how brave the men and women who wear the uniform are, and therefore they'll have the full support of this government.
Doesn't have anything to do with the question that was asked.
What deployments mean to wives and husbands and mothers and fathers, particularly as we come into a holiday season. I understand. And I have made it abundantly clear how tough it is. I also believe we're going to succeed. I believe we'll prevail. Not only do I know how important it is to prevail.
So he's replaced victory in many cases with the word prevail, which is never defined.
I believe we will prevail. I understand how hard it is to prevail. But I also want the American people to understand that if we were to fail, and one way to assure failure is just to quit, is not to adjust and say it's just not worth it. If we were to fail, that failed policy will come to hurt generations of Americans in the future. And as I said in my opening statement, I believe we're in an ideological struggle between forces that are reasonable and want to live in peace and radicals and extremists. And when you throw into the mix of radical Shia and radical Sunni trying to gain power and topple modern governments, with energy which they could use to blackmail Great Britain or America or anybody else who doesn't kowtow to them, and a nuclear weapon.
So now he's introducing Iran with the potential for a nuclear weapon, which of course does not exist and could not exist for several years.
Hands of a government that is would be using that nuclear weapon to blackmail to achieve political objectives. Historians look back and say, how come Bush and Blair couldn't see the threat? That's what they'll be asking. And I want to tell you, I see the threat. And I believe it is up to our governments to help lead the forces of moderation to prevail. It's in our interests. And one of the things that has changed for American foreign policy is a threat overseas can now come home to hurt us.
Ah, fear us up.
And September the 11th.
Yeah.
Should be a wake-up call for the American people to...
And what did September 11th have to do with your arbitrary elective invasion of Iraq and the ongoing occupation? Ah, too messy to talk about that.
Understand, what happens if there is violence and safe havens in a part of the world? And what happens is people can die here at home. And so, I appreciate your question. I appreciate, as you can tell, I feel strongly about making sure you understand that I understand it's tough. But I want you to know, sir, that I believe we'll prevail.
Yeah, prevail, prevail, prevail. I think there were 10 prevails in that one answer.
I know we have to adjust to prevail, but I wouldn't have our troops in harm's way if I didn't believe. One, it was important, and two, we'll succeed. Thank you.
Prime Minister, if I may, briefly.
Now, I'm going to continue here for just one more minute because Nick from the BBC asks a follow-up. And then Blair, in a very polite and indirect way, acknowledges the truth of the failed policies of the Bush administration in Iraq.
Isn't what
you're
the...
not going to do a follow-up, are you?
No.
Well, here there was a joke because Bush referred to the BBC reporter as a lad.
Forgive me, I just wanted to ask you about your Middle East mission, if I may. Given your trip to the Middle East, isn't the truth that what the Arab-Israeli problem requires is not, however hard you try, another visit by a British Prime Minister, but the genuine commitment, and not merely in words, of an American administration that's serious about doing something about it?
Well, I believe that we have that commitment, and I mean, you're right in this sense. There would be no point in me going unless it was part of a mission that was supported fully by our American allies, but it is. We agree.
Well, I'm thinking of a different exchange, so it's not there, but that is the president's spin for today. He appears to have learned almost nothing from the Baker Commission report, the discussion of it, and the very clear message sent by American voters in November. Now I want to hear from you. Lines are open. We're going to take your calls the rest of this hour at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-572-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. I think I just gave the wrong number. 888-573-8372. I should know my own number, right? Your calls straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Love me, I'll call her, baby. Call
KXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This week on Rock Rolling Real Estate, meet Louis Basil of Jamestown Real Estate and Ronnie Bramer of New Horizon Real Estate Group. They'll talk about investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. If you want to know how to finance a deal and make your first investment property a simple turnkey process, these are the guys. For more information on how to be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376. Rock Rolling Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Well, we have a stall in Hollister. It's Highway 156 at Fairview Road. This is actually a stall big rig blocking one of the lanes there. So CHP as well as big rig tow truck en route to clear that on out of there. Keep your eyes open. Pacheco Pass, Highway 152 west of Fifield Road. Reports of some metal debris blocking that right-hand lane there. Let's see. Santa Cruz Mounds, actually Los Gatos, southbound 17. Before Lark Avenue, we have a stall vehicle blocking that left-hand lane there. You're going to see some sluggish traffic southbound 101 through Salinas downtown. Also a little sluggish southbound one from the Fishhook to Capitola and also out of to Aptos there. This report is brought to you by Robitussin. Robitussin, with formulas for coughs, colds, congestion, and flu. No matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. I'm Diane with Traffic, KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. You can email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com, or even try humblehost at peterbcollins.com. And if you don't like me, try loudmouth at peterbcollins.com. I think it'll work. We're here in the free speed zone, and all my lines are open right now. So if you've been hanging back, don't. Give us a call, particularly if you're a first-time caller. I love to hear from fresh voices with fresh opinions, and all our lines available, so don't wait, don't be shy. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, so far, the most intelligent reaction that I have heard to the release of this Baker Commission report is not from a Democrat, but from a Republican, Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel. He was on television last night opposite Chris Dodd. I think Mike Barnicle was sitting in on Hardball. I don't particularly care for Barnicle, but he did a pretty good job. And after Chris Dodd had praised Jim Baker and Lee Hamilton and, you know, done all that kind of inside the beltway hoo-ha, Chuck Hagel cut right through it. He said, you know, they've been working on this report for 8 or 9 months. And he said, I believe the situation is much more fluid and deteriorating more rapidly than even this report acknowledges. This is from a Republican, Chuck Hagel. And it was a very powerful statement, and it really deepened my respect for this guy. I have a lot of differences with Hagel. But on Iraq and on the misguided foreign policy of the Bush administration, he has been one of the most reliable voices, and he does rise above partisan politics. Not in this, meaningless way of kissing up to Robert Gates. But Chuck Hagel, really, he's the straight talker. Now, for our Arizona listeners, here's your senior senator, John McCain. He wants more troops in Iraq. There's only one thing worse than an overstressed Army and Marine Corps, and that's a defeated Army and Marine Corps, said McCain. I believe this recipe will lead to our defeat sooner or later in Iraq. This was described as a sharp exchange as members of the Baker-Hamilton Commission came calling in the Senate today. Your calls now at 888-5-PETER-B. First up, we've got Frank on the line. This is Frank in Marina. Hi, Frank.
Hey, great show, Peter. I've got... Sorry I missed you Saturday. I was down south babysitting.
Oh, okay. Hey, Frank, I finally got the CD in the mail to you today and a bunch of other people who won a Roy Zimmerman CD right before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So it's on the way.
I sent you a few emails today. Why did he even have these hearings? I mean, it's really a farce or just a dog and pony show for the public.
Yeah.
And, of course, no Democrats. It's the same bunch of crooks staying in from the 80s with Iran-Contra and everything else. And as far as this thing in Iraq, Peter, you invade a country illegally, you violate the Geneva Convention and everything else, kill over 500,000 people, and these people, and you know what? The Democrats are just as guilty because Bush could have not done anything without the help of the Democrats. And the longer we stay there, the more Americans are going to be killed and maimed, and the more Iraqis are going to be killed and maimed. And, as I told you months and months ago, when your back is against the wall, there's only one way to go, and that's forward. This is why people are so desperate in Iraq, they're willing to take their lives to kill the occupation forces. And I don't call them the insurgents. They are the resistance fighters, mm-hmm. just like the French against the Germans in World War II. You know, we didn't call the French an insurgent group, the Free French. But
well, and one of the things, and I realize that we have a complicated mess, and that for many people, you offer one scenario, which is, okay, let's get American troops out of there as quickly as possible. And they say, well, that's going to just, let this insurgency fester and bloom, and more Iraqis will die. Well, that may be true. And it's always tough to make these Hobson's choices and know that lives will be lost inevitably. However, we know that we are a central source of the irritation. And whatever scores are being settled between Sunni and Shia and other groups in Iraq, Baathists left over from the Saddam regime, the Kurds are now pissed off at the U.S. because we are proposing to take away a referendum about their desire to take over Kirkuk. And we're also saying that we want to nationalize the oil supply, and that's not in the self-interest of the Kurds.
Yeah.
And so,
privatize oil supply.
You know, we can't solve every problem, but we have to recognize when we are at the center of the problem. And the score settling and the ultimate political resolution between the major groups in Iraq will never occur until the U.S. gets out of the way.
Exactly. And another thing, they'll work it out amongst themselves once we're out of there, because that's still their country.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll eventually bury the hatchet. It's just like the same thing happened in South Vietnam when the North finally won. When we finally withdrew,
mm-hmm.
you know, the country didn't fall apart. I mean, now we're over there. We've got plants over there, you know, for cheap slave, you know, cheap wages and everything.
Right.
But the thing is,
now let me ask you this, Frank, because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Did you find anything positive in the Baker Study Group or the recommendations that they floated?
I didn't find anything positive.
Well, I did, and I'll name two of them.
Okay.
One is the push to engage with Syria and Iran, and the president was resisting again today, putting preconditions on any conversations with them. And secondly, the study group has proposed separating the budget issues, or not separating them, but forcing the Pentagon to include the cost of the war in its annual budget. And that, I believe, gives Democrats leverage to start to put strings on the money for the war, because if you're talking about the Pentagon budget, that is a less of a target for Republicans to say, oh, you want to cut off money for the troops? No, I want to cut off money for the war.
Yeah.
And that's an important distinction. And if we stop the phony Enron accounting for the war, that could help us get a handle on it. Frank, thanks for your call today. Always good to have you listening. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speed Zone. There are lines available. 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify lying before a grand jury? Doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Concern about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Operator was asleep at the switch there, and I'm the operator. My name is Peter B. Collins, and I shouldn't be permitted to mash the buttons here. And Elvis isn't on the line. We got a bunch of Peter B. Collins show listeners. We're going to get right to you. There's one line open at 888-5 Peter B. And Joe, with the weak cell phone battery, call us back. We'll put you at the head of the line. That's a real good reason. Let me toss two more things into the mix. Dick Cheney is about to become a grandpa. His lesbian daughter, Mary, and her partner, Heather Poe, have announced that they are expecting. And I believe that it's Mary who is pregnant. Yes, it is. Now, we don't know the particulars, but we imagine it was in vitro fertilization. This, of course, is where embryos are combined with sperm and then implanted in the person, Mary Cheney in this case. And this is the process that has riled the president, because some of those embryos are discarded. And people who believe in embryonic stem cell research think, hey, God intended for us to use these parts to help fix other humans. I actually agree with that thought. But the president can't handle it. And Mary Cheney is going to be a daily reminder, not only of the family values of the Bush administration and their hateful approach to gays and lesbians. After all, they're just fodder for political campaigns. But also how this is going to raise the issue of in vitro and, ultimately, embryos and their usages. So good luck, Dick Cheney. And I wonder if John Kerry and John Edwards, who mentioned the lesbianness of Mary Cheney in the campaign of 04, I wonder if they've sent flowers yet. I just don't know. Now, here's one more item that's been in my inbox for a couple of days. There is a new weapon developed by the United States Air Force called ADS. It's not a braking system. It's called the Active Denial System. It shoots a beam of millimeter waves, which are longer in wavelength than X-rays but shorter than microwaves. And it says that it produces what experimenters call the goodbye effect, or prompt and highly motivated escape behavior. In human tests, most subjects reach their pain threshold within 3 seconds, and none could endure more than 5 seconds. Pardon me. And this weapon has been approved for use in Iraq. Yes, we're going to win those hearts and minds any way we can. Raul in, I'm sorry, it's Paul, not Raul. Paul in Phoenix. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
All right.
Tell me what's on your mind.
Hey, what's going on, Peter? I didn't think I'd get through. I'm just calling because I haven't heard anybody talk about the implications of partitioning Iraq.
Uh-huh.
Basically, as I understand it, round one, part of the reason why we didn't march into Baghdad was because the Turks had expressed some concerns. And I think the same thing is going to happen if we partition Iraq. We've got the Kurds that are doing pretty well under the circumstances. They're, there's a large population of Kurds in Turkey.
That's right.
And either it's going to, you know, Turkey's concerned because they're afraid that, Kurds within Turkey are going to want to establish, their own independent state.
Right.
And the same seems true for the Shias in Iran.
And the Turks, it is important to point out, the Turks have been ruthless in suppressing the Kurds, and those who are inside Turkey are subject to political repression leading up to imprisonment, and there have been allegations of torture.
Okay. I mean, but I think it's still a valid concern. I mean, and if...
Indeed. You know, it points up that any resolution that is proposed has downsides, has negative consequences. Some of them are, visible now, and some of them are not. But yes, it's true that if you partition Iraq in any formal way, that it will create an irritant not only on the northern border with Turkey, but also it will create potential alliances between the Shia in southern Iraq and their religious counterparts in northern Iran.
Exactly. And just one more quick point, if I may, it's just basically the implications.
But let me just pursue it for a second because you brought it up.
Okay.
One of the problems here is that if we don't partition, the Sunnis will have a long-term grudge to act out on because they are the victims of the reconfiguration of Iraq, and they have the weakest role in what we call the unity government. And, of course, the Sunnis allied with Saddam, many Ba'athists, they're well-armed. Again, there's no easy way out, there's no easy choice. But my point is that partitioning may ultimately occur with or without our approval or involvement just because it's going to be the only way to draw these lines and separate the warring parties. That said, we have a lot of integrated neighborhoods and communities in Iraq. And this partitioning could clearly lead to ethnic cleansing, which, of course, is already underway. So no easy ways. No easy answers, that's for sure. Go ahead.
No, I completely agree, and thank you for explaining that. And also, just basically besides fixing the mess in Iraq, we've got to fix our image in the world because whether people realize it or not, we're not just a great country. We're actually a brand that we export throughout the world. And as perception of Americans decreases throughout the world, that translates into dollars.
Yeah. Well, it does, and it also affects our foreign policy. For example, I'll get to this maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but there are two items in the torture file right now. One is that we have filed charges against Charles Taylor of Liberia, I think, for committing various forms of torture. And we don't have a very high moral platform to stand on right now to accuse world leaders of torture or other forms of repression. Paul, thanks a lot for your call today.
All right, thanks for my call. I appreciate it. Bye.
You bet. Now, Randall in Phoenix. Hello, Randall.
Hey, Peter B. I know you're coming on a break. I won't keep you long. But
go ahead. We got plenty of time.
Well, somebody pushed my buttons again every time I listen to a talk show. And they call in and say, well, the Democrats this and the Democrats that, and the Democrats don't do what I want. And there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. And I have to call up and say, you are the Democrats, you bozo. And if the Democrats in Congress don't behave, then we need to get some new Democrats in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm still mad about Iran-Contra. And, we just passed, I think, the 20th anniversary of the when Ed Meese had his press conference and said mistakes were made and stuff.
Yeah.
And
isn't it great to see Ed Meese trotted out for the Baker-Hamilton Commission?
I hate those Meeses to pieces.
I mean, how could he put down his porno collection long enough to study the war in Iraq?
I know. It's the same. It's the same usual suspects, and it's the same on our side. You know, Chris Dodd was the chairman of the Western Hemisphere Subcommittee of Senate Foreign Relations, you know, back in those days.
Yeah.
And you know, Joe Biden and Carl Levin and all those old reprobates were there then, and they're still there now. And why are they still there? It's because we Democrats are too lazy to fire them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them are salvageable, and if, and a lot of the reason that they didn't go all the way on Iran-Contra was because the Teflon president, and they were scared. It's a political proposition. If you go up against the president, you got to make sure that you have the political wherewithal, the backing of the popular support, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Reagan had everybody totally hornswoggled and intimidated, because most people didn't realize what a bozo he was, you know. And so this president doesn't have that kind of political capital, and it is absolutely imperative that we start holding these people to the fire. If you live in California and if you aren't writing a nasty letter to Dianne Feinstein every week, then you are have no place to make fun of any other Democrat.
All right. Now, Randall, let me jump. I got a bunch of callers here. I appreciate your point of view. Now to Hilda in Aromas. Hello, Hilda.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I called because I was listening to the excerpt of the conference with Bush, and I had two questions because I didn't see it. What was the face like, or what was the reporter's demeanor after when listening to this? I mean, I'm listening to it, and the way he laughed and just being totally disgusted by the way he answered. What was his look, and what was the look of Tony Blair? I mean, was there any kind of, you know, can you describe that to me at all?
I didn't see a reaction shot of the reporter, except during, and I actually was talking over it while we played it here on the air. There was a brief exchange when the questioning shifted from Bush to Blair, and this BBC reporter, Nick, it was his first name, I don't recall his last name, Bush referred to him as a lad, and then made a joke, in Britain you refer to guys as lads. And then Blair said that he thought the BBC reporter would be flattered by that, and the BBC guy didn't really respond to the jocularity. He just moved on to his question for Blair.
Well, how come he didn't ask? It seemed like a follow-up question when he's kind of blurring, saying these things that it's like, you know, they have him saying other things, contradicting himself, and just kind of his wording, and the fact that he brings in 9/11, and like, what does that have to do with Iraq? I'm just surprised they don't have that kind of follow-up question.
First of all, when you have a tag team news conference, the reporters try to be polite and go A-B. So it went from Bush to Blair and Bush to Blair. And at times, that worked to the president's advantage, because rather than follow up on his misleading non-answer, the reporter was more focused on asking a question of the prime minister.
Oh, okay, got it.
So do you have broadband access?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, go to a friend's house, whitehouse.gov.
Okay.
The video of the press conference is right up there, and you can pause it and talk back to it just like I did.
I don't know if I can stomach it, but thank you.
All right, Hilda, thank you for your call.
Bye.
888-5-PETER-B, next to Lansing, Michigan. Will's on the line. Hello, Will.
Hey, Mike, or Peter.
I'm Peter, yeah.
I think we need to reframe the discussion about the war in Iraq in terms that it's been an ongoing open conflict between Iraq and the United States and the UK for 15 years now.
All right. I'm not opposed to that. What would it get us?
As far as I'm concerned, hello?
Yeah, you're still there. Go ahead. I think that's Benny over at the NSA just checking on you, Will.
As far as I'm concerned, it would change the discussion quite radically. We've been involved in Iraq's open conflict with Iraq for 15 years now, and that
is correct.
I was part of it. I'm a Desert Storm veteran.
I see.
Well,
thank you for serving. And do you have any health problems as a result?
I have some mental health problems.
Oh.
I saw some pretty ugly stuff over there.
Mm. Okay. Well, I hope you get the help you need, and that we're paying for it. But, Will, I understand your point. This is really the first time I've thought about it. My first reaction is that you have a problem that people have pretty rosy recollections of Desert Storm. They think of it as a surgical strike that removed Iraq from Kuwait, and that Poppy Bush had the restraint not to attempt to go into Baghdad and topple Saddam, and not to attempt an occupation of Iraq. And I agree with you that going forward from Desert Storm, and of course from the our failure to prevent Saddam from invading Kuwait in the first place. Remember April Glaspie? I do. And so there are a lot of miscues there that go well back into the 1980s when we supported both Iraq and Iran when they were at war with one another. And we provided supplies, including chemical weapons, to the regime of Saddam Hussein that we later decided to bring down. So I agree with you that the sordid history of U.S.-Iraqi relations is an important context, but I don't think that you can introduce it into this environment because the media doesn't go back more than about 20 minutes, particularly television, and our political leaders have no stomach even to explore the causes of the failed policies that now require a new defense secretary and a vague new direction forward, or whatever that's supposed to be. So I take your point, but I don't see it as something that we can really exercise. Will, thanks for the call from Michigan tonight. More of your calls coming up in a moment. I have a couple of lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
This is Laura Pruneta, Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Still working on clearing the stalled big rig in Hollister. It's 156 at Fairview Road. Stalled big rig in one of the lanes there. Salinas Zavala Road at Old Stage Road. Watch out for a horse running in the roadway. In Aptos, northbound 1 after State Park Drive, we have a two-vehicle accident. Both those vehicles have been cleared from the roadway into the center divide and CHP just about on scene. Also in Aptos, Soquel Drive at Baragas Drive, we have an injury accident reported. Three vehicles involved in this one. Reportedly, they all three over to the shoulder there. Watsonville, Lakeview Road, north of Lakeview Drive, we have an SUV that went off the roadway and into a creek there. This report is brought to you by Mobil 1 Extended Performance Motor Oil. Get your engine ready for winter with 15,000 miles of guaranteed protection, only from Mobil 1 Extended Performance Mobil Oil. I'm Diane with Traffic, KRXA 540.
Resistance. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls coming up here in just a moment. But during that lengthy commercial break, I crisscrossed the room here to grab my torture file. two items for your perusal today. As I mentioned, and I managed to get most of it correct, it's the son of Charles G. Taylor, Liberia's former president, who was charged yesterday with two counts of torture, one count of using a firearm in a violent crime during interrogation of an opposition figure in the Liberian capital of Monrovia. And he has been charged American courts. It gives American courts jurisdiction over reported abuse overseas by American citizens. Mr. Taylor's son was born in the United States. He's 29 years old, and he's pleaded guilty to passport fraud, and he's in federal custody awaiting sentencing on that charge. And according to the indictment, well, you probably know that it was a pretty sordid regime there. But it is bizarre that we are going to conduct a trial of an African man who has a sorry human rights record, no doubt about it. But ours is even sorrier. And the world knows it. The pictures of Abu Ghraib are out there. Everybody knows what we've done with our extraordinary rendition program. And that brings us to item two in the torture file today. The commissioner of the RCMP, the Mounties, resigned Wednesday, the first official to face penalties because of the deportation of Maher Arar, the Canadian citizen who was sent to Syria, where he was jailed and tortured as a suspect of terrorism. Giuliano Zaccardelli, that doesn't sound very Canadian, does it? His resignation was announced in a terse statement from the Prime Minister's office. How about some Americans responsible for the rendition of Maher Arar? That would be justice in my book. Now we go to line five. It's Marianne in Arcata. Thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. You're on the air, Marianne.
Yes, hello, PDB. It was so good to be up there in Blue Lake and hear you when you were here.
Well, I enjoyed meeting the whole crew.
And my goodness, what incredible 2 days. Yesterday morning, I got up early and called 5 or 6 of the senators on the Armed Services Committee to find out if they really document themselves on the background of Mr. Gates, and also why this senator voted to confirm. And so the man in the office said, oh, yeah, they know. And he said the reason he voted yes was because Mr. Gates said he would make independent decisions.
Oh, my.
Confirmed as Secretary of Defense. I couldn't help saying, well, what did you expect him to say?
Yeah.
So then this office person said, well, we'll give your comments to the senator. And they said, well, how does that work? How do you do that? And he said, well, we give the report at the end of the day of all the comments of the day.
Uh-huh.
And, well, and I said, well, tonight it'll be too late. They'll have that whole Senate hearing before that's done.
Right. Now, Marianne, it stopped. Can you do me a favor? Are you on a cordless phone?
No, I have some. I thought I was using my better phone.
Oh, okay. There's some static on the line. I was just going to say, if you take it and slap it on your knee.
Yeah.
Sometimes that'll fix it. It's a very high-tech approach. Go ahead.
Hey, it worked. Because, this is not a wall phone. So anyway, so this is what went through.
Now,
with
did
all
you,
the people I spoke to.
Did you call Feinstein's office?
I did also, yeah, and they took down my comments. Same with Boxer.
Uh-huh. And did you notice that Feinstein had said previously she would vote against the Gates nomination?
Oh, really?
And then she voted for it with a very tortured explanation.
But do you think that it was Mr. Frist then that just rushed through the Baker-Hamilton report the next day?
Well, all of this, I can only hope that the Democrats have an overarching strategy, which is to entrap Republicans by giving them enough rope to hang themselves. But I worry that we're the ones who are going to twist in the wind. Marianne, thanks a lot for calling.
I'm sorry that the phone line is so bad. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. Andrew in New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi, Andrew.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
The earlier clip you played of Bush talking today, did he say pulling out our troops was a failed policy?
I don't think
that's
quite...
I
don't recall those specific words. If you go to...
I think he said that.
Well, how about if you go to whitehouse.gov, in addition to the video, there should be a transcript of the news conference.
Yeah, well, you could say that, and I'm pretty sure he did. I think that means that that felt policy allowed him to go visit Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
pulling out our troops is not a felt policy. Pulling out our troops will allow the Iraqi people to say, hey, the Americans are not here anymore.
Yeah. You know, you're correct in the sense of what he said. He was using the word prevail to excess. And then he said, you know, that we can't afford to fail or we can't permit it to fail because of the legacy it'll leave to future governments and presidents.
I'm gonna double check that and whatnot, but I thought he said pulling out our troops is a failed policy, and I said, well, we haven't pulled any troops out yet.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because a lot of people are saying, wow, you know, Baker Hamilton says within a year we should pull out all the combat troops. Mm-hmm. But essentially their proposal is that about half of our current troop strength would be in Iraq for the foreseeable future almost indefinitely. And I still regard that as problematic. And fundamentally, they say those 70,000 would be there to train Iraqis. And I don't think training is the issue. I think loyalty is the issue. And as long as the U.S. is viewed as an occupier and as is viewed as controlling the government of Iraq, I don't think there will be sufficient loyalty for those troops to secure their own nation. Thank you very much, Andrew. We got time for one more call. It's Kate in Arcata. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Peter. I'll try to be quick. I just wanted to say that Bush answered that question about whether he was in denial by giving his rambling answer. Part of the answer was that he felt that we should, that the United States needs to be a force of moderation in that part of the world.
Yeah.
And if he calls what we're doing moderation with having an unprovoked war and et cetera, then he certainly is in denial. He just proved it with his answer.
Well, and he has no sense of the irony that he delivers on a regular basis. Yeah. All right, Kate, that's very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. I want to thank everybody who called today and joined us on the program. And one last time, I want to saddle up Trigger here for our friends in Sacramento. I've enjoyed being on 1240 Talk City. Changes in the wind. Somebody else will be there tomorrow night. But you can keep listening at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Peter King, live at the Kennedy Space Center.
And we are at T-minus 9 minutes and holding.
Countdown for Shuttle Discovery right where it should be. A planned hold for launch controllers to make sure everything is set for the first nighttime shuttle launch in 4 years.
Is that window open?
No technical concerns or issues are being discussed by the launch team at this time.
But weather has been a problem. NASA hoping for low, thick clouds to dissipate here and for skies to improve at the shuttle's overseas emergency landing sites. It's looking better now, but this one could go right down to the wire with launch planned in 35 minutes. I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. Now with more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
President Bush bristled at today's news conference when a reporter asked if he's in denial about the situation in Iraq. He said he knows it's bad.
I've been saying a lot. I understand how tough it is, and I've been telling the American people how tough it is, and they know how tough it is.
The president disputed the Iraq study group's conclusion that time is running out in Iraq. He said we're going to succeed. More from CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod.
Mr. Bush is now awaiting two in-house reviews that he hopes will let him craft his own new plan, rather than seeming to simply adopt the Baker proposals wholesale.
I don't think Jim Baker and Lee Hamilton expect us to accept every recommendation.
Testifying this morning on Capitol Hill, Senator, Jim Baker did not appear to agree.
I hope we don't treat this like a fruit salad and say, I like this, but I don't like that. This is a comprehensive strategy.
The president said today he's going to give a speech to spell out his new way forward. Aides won't say when that speech will be, only that sometime before the end of the year would be logical.
Ameren, the power company that serves Missouri and Illinois, says it hopes to have everyone back online tomorrow. Tens of thousands of homes have been without electricity since the big storm, and KMOX Radio's Berta Collins reports some angry customers have started to take it out on the repair crews.
The St. Clair County Sheriff says some Ameren linesmen have experienced harassment while repairing the extensive damage from last week's ice storm.
People driving by and hollering insults and calling them names and all kinds of crazy things.
Merle Justice says, well, he wouldn't term those threats exactly. As a precaution, his department has been providing security for the linesmen, standing by while they work. Berta Collins.